Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
So we're in the series, Say No to Grow. And I just want to make sure you're aware of this. When we say no to things that we might grow into the person God would have us be, we're saying no to things so that we can say yes to other things. So we're fasting, right, for the whole month in the season of Lent, getting us up to Easter. And when we say no to food or to TV or to pop or whatever it is you're fasting from, you're saying no to something so that you can say yes to something else, maybe more loudly and clearly. So we've been talking about this notion of spiritual discipline in this season of saying no to grow, in the season of fasting, the season of Lent. And you got to say no to some things to say yes to other things. Let me just give you a quick few tips on fasting as we have about 2 weeks left. Fasting tip number one, I would like for you to ask the Lord to give you a hunger and a thirst to accompany the hunger and thirst you're feeling, whether you've given up food, you're really hungry and thirsty, or if you've given up, you know, some type of food, you're hungry for that, or if you've given up, you know, Facebook, whatever you've given up, you're hungering for that thing. Ask the Lord in your prayer time, in whose prayer time? Whose? Right, because that's key, right? Because if you're not praying while you're fasting, you're just dieting. And this isn't a Weight Watchers group, right? This is a fasting thing. So in your prayer time, ask the Lord to give you a hunger and a thirst, and you know what that is, to hunger and thirst, but to have a hunger and thirst for righteousness. And so all you need to do is say, Lord, give me a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Jesus himself said when he walked planet Earth, he would say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. So that's a tip for you in your prayer life. Pray that you would have a hunger and a thirst for righteous things in your life. And the Bible says you will be satisfied. Tip number two, remember the three prayer foci or focuses that we have during this season. And they are simply pray for your clan, like Clash of Clans, your family, your people, right? Pray for your people, your clan. Pray for this church and pray for the city. So focus your times of fasting on praying for those three things, in addition to asking for hunger and thirst. So, say no to grow. We're saying no to something so that we can say yes to something. There's something by way of a discipline that I want you to say yes to in this week's teaching. And to help me get at that, I want to go to businessinsider.com, which most of you read every day, I'm sure, right? So forgive me for the redundancy for most of you, but there's probably four or five people who don't read Business Insider. So for their sake, let me read this article written by a woman named Tanya Lewis, who proposes, because she was studying a Stanford survey, University of Stanford, put out by the psychology department, that says your productivity in business increases when you do nothing more often. Did you hear this? She says, your productivity will increase when you do nothing more often. She says it's counterintuitive to increase your productivity by doing nothing more often. However, the counterintuitive reason that doing nothing can make you more successful is, according to this survey or this research paper by Stanford psychologist Emma Seppala, we can be more effective, she says, if we take the time to do more of nothing. You can be more effective if you take the time to do more of nothing. The survey gives us three tips, or the study does. Number one, unplug. Change your routine. And then this one in the survey is highlighted. It's italicized and it's got exclamation mark. So unplug, change your routine, and play. Play. She goes on to say, as kids, we all played all the time. But many of us have forgotten how. As kids, we played all the time, but many of us have forgotten how. So, to increase your productivity, try out a board game. Go see a comedy show. Or spend some time cuddling with your pet. If he has an ACL issue, be careful in the cuddle. It doesn't matter what you're doing. As long as you're having fun, your productivity will increase. We got to say no to grow, and there's something that I want you to say yes to and some things I want you to say no to today. You might not yet have a clue what it is, so let me go to the Washington Post again, which I'm sure most of you read on a regular basis, so forgive the redundancy, but there's probably six or seven of you who don't read the Washington Post. Here it is. The Washington Post tells us that richer countries, countries that make more money from a gross domestic product standpoint than other countries, richer countries have the luxury of more leisure time. You tracking? Richer countries have the luxury of more leisure time than those countries that are considered poorer. This is a fact across the board, according to the Washington Post, with one single exception. Anybody want to guess what the one exception is? You. You are the exception to the norm. You are a part of one of the richest countries in the world, and the richest countries in the world have the luxury of having more leisure time, more free time, and yet you are the exception to that rule. The survey, or the stuff from Washington Post, went on to say other wealthy countries like France and Italy, Spain, and the United Kingdom, they are wealthy countries, but they're not as wealthy as our country. They make 67% of what we make on average. And yet their people work one-third less of the hours that Americans do. We live in a place that has forgotten how to play. And so in the notion of saying no to grow, I want you to say yes to the notion of rest and play. And I want you to say no to having to produce and work all the time. You know, Jesus would agree with the Washington Post and BusinessInsider.com. His disciples in Mark chapter 6 were busy doing all kinds of work. And if you know the context of Mark 6, there's all kinds of work that was done. And the people lined up that needs work and ministry done for them is long. So the work was being done, and there's all kinds of work yet to be done. Does anybody relate to that there's all kinds of work to be done yet? I mean, like, more than you can see. I can't even see the end of this work that needs to get done. This is the context of Mark chapter 6. In the midst of work that has to get done, and this is good work, it's life-changing work, it's freeing work, there's work to be done, and Jesus tells his people who are supposed to do this work, who are supposed to be this productive, he tells them in Mark chapter 6, verse 31, he says, come away with me. Come away with me. By yourself. Everybody take a deep breath and let it out. And then he ends his sentence with this. And get some rest. Come away with me by yourself and get some rest. Now, that's not very American of Jesus, right? I mean, if Jesus was a good American, he would be like, hey, guys, I know you're tired, but you got to dig deep. You got to go after it. There's more work to be done. Come on. Now's not the time to quit. You can do this. Come on, boys. He would give them a rah-rah speech. Go, go, go. But Jesus, thank goodness, is not an American. He sees the work to be done, and he sees the laborers, and he says, hey, guys, come away with me by yourselves and get some rest. And Jesus was only doing what he had seen the Father do at the very beginning of time, right? God, how many days did God take to create the world, the Father? How many? Six. And then what did he do on day seven? Did he do that because God was just exhausted? Ooh, that's hard work creating a world. No, God doesn't get exhausted. God does things in order and time and for reason. He created in 6 days, and then on the seventh day, God, what did God do? Say it like you mean it. What did God do? He rested because he was presenting a model for his children to follow. Because there comes a point in time where you've got to say no. Are you listening? You've got to say no to work and yes to rest. This is what God did. He modeled it. And not only did he model it at the very beginning of time in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we see it in the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, when he's laying out rules for his people. Rules not because he's mean and angry. Rules because and guidelines because the guidelines give freedom. Did y'all hear that? The guidelines give freedom, and the guidelines point to the fact that there's a good God who wants the best for his children, right? And so the fourth commandment, God said, honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So there's something I want you to say no to and something I want you to say yes to. I want you to say yes to the concept of Sabbath and no to the concept of constant striving and work. Now, Sabbath, what is that? It's been confused over the years. I think erroneously we have thought that to have a Sabbath means you need to sit in a worship service for hours and hours and hours, sing songs and songs, and that's part of the Sabbath. And then the rest of the Sabbath, you got to go home and just be bored. When I was in seminary up in Holland, Michigan at Western Theological Seminary, my roommate had a grandmother who was, you know, from the Netherlands and the Dutch Reformed Church. On Saturday afternoon, I was doing the painful ritual that many of you do called watching the lions, right? So I was doing the thing, watching the lions. And grandma came in, steeped in her Dutch Reformed tradition, and looked at me watching TV, the lions, and had a look of confusion on her face that turned into a look of condemnation. And I get it, it was the lions. I know, I should have been watching something. And she turned to her son and said something in Dutch, and I didn't know what she said, but she was clearly disgusted, and she left. And her son, my roommate, said, my grandma's mad that you're watching TV because this is the Sabbath. You don't watch TV on the Sabbath. I mean, is that what the Sabbath is? And then there's a story of Christie's family. I've shared it here before. When you were a little girl living in Westland, Michigan, right? Swimming in the backyard pool with the brother and the sister, having all kinds of fun until they get a call from grandma and grandpa that says, hey, we're coming over. Also from, you know, a traditional background that had a certain concept of Sabbath. It was a Sunday afternoon, and quickly mom and dad rallied troops, get out of the pool! Get out of the pool, dry your hair, hide the swimsuits. You know, so when grandma and grandpa got over, they were sitting nice and happy because on the Sabbath, don't you dare have fun. Don't you dare recreate, even though when we recreate, we recreate. Did you ever notice that recreate and recreate, it's the same thing? See, I think the notion of Sabbath and biblical rest has been really misconstrued and missed for a while. When we were in Israel a couple summers ago, Christy and I and Rod and Anna, we got a good picture of what Sabbath actually is. And if you study Jewish culture, which these words of rest and Sabbath, you know, originally given to Sabbath or to Jewish culture, we saw Jewish culture celebrate Sabbath. And so what they did on the Friday leading up to the Friday evening to Saturday evening Sabbath for them is they did all of their work. They got the food ready. They got the hall ready where they were going to meet. They got the tables all set. But when the Sabbath hit, they were done working. And what they did not do through the Sabbath was sit in a bored manner. Oh, this is horrible. Rather, what commenced was a party like I'd never seen before. And these people were dancing and clapping and yelling. And it wasn't, you know, like those awkward middle school dances where all the boys are standing over against the wall like this and the ladies are dancing. I mean, it was the men who were dancing like crazy and clapping and having fun. And for them, the Sabbath was play. And it was laughter and it was family and it was food. And it's this concept of Sabbath, the real understanding of Sabbath that God's talking about when he says, come away and get some rest. Jocularity, laughter, even dancing if it's your thing. Recreate to recreate. Say no to work for a bit and just play for a while. So in this concept of say no to grow, I'm giving you a biblical mandate to stop working sometime and actually play a little bit, would you? Well, let's just be clear what I'm saying. I'm hoping the Lord convicts you to play more often. Isn't that kind of cool? Because he's a father who loves you and likes you and knows that you were created to rest and to play. So there was about a 5-year stretch here in the River's history where, in addition to working here at the River, I had this side job where I was hired by this organization to train and equip church planting pastors, pastors who want to start new churches, and established church pastors who wanted to send off, you know, and start new churches. And often I was meeting people I'd never met before. So just in the small talk conversation, I would often say, hey, what do you do in your free time? And almost every single time, over 100 times, these pastors would get this look of kind of downtrodden. But have you ever seen somebody kind of being proud in their downtrodden state? Well, I'm too busy to have free time. Implication, I'm so important to God that I can't waste a single moment. Free time. I don't have free time. I'm too busy doing the Lord's work. And my inner thinking is, well, if you're too busy doing the Lord's work, when did you get too busy to be obedient to the Lord? Did you hear that? You can get too busy doing the Lord's work that you forget to be obedient to the one you're supposedly serving. And the notion of rest and play, it's not an option. It's for your benefit and thus the world's benefit. So as I continued on in this job, I began to mix in some teaching along these lines of Sabbath and rest and play. And I would have them, you know, in their groups, get in a small group and just share, you know, what did you used to do when you were a little kid by way of playing? And these very self-important guys who were so proud of their busyness actually began to lose that and began to get kind of childlike and began to share stories of when they were little. Man, I used to climb trees, or I used to ride my bike, or I used to play kickball or dodgeball. And I was listening to this, and there was one time I was down in Arizona, and Richard Caballero, man, he's a leader of a network of churches, man. Very important guy. I mean, he had suit and ties on. We're in the desert on a retreat. I'm wearing flip-flop shorts and a t-shirt. He's got a suit and tie on, you know. And he was telling the story of how when he was a kid, he used to love to climb trees. And I said, well, hey, Richard, when was the last time you climbed a tree? I'm too busy to climb trees. And I said, that's baloney. There's a tree right out there. We can see it through the window. Go climb that tree, Richard. With his nice patent leather shoes on. He's like, I can't climb a tree. And then the other pastors in the group began, tree, 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 tree. And so they chanted tree, tree. And then finally Richard took his coat off and he ran outside. And Richard, with his tie and his leather shoes on, he climbed a tree. And the whole time he giggled as if he were a little schoolboy once again. And at the end of the session, you know, we're talking, you know, what do you guys like about the retreat? He goes, my favorite part. I thought he was going to say, man, you're a profound teacher. He said, my favorite part is that you had me climb a tree. And I'm going to climb trees more often. I mean, this was phenomenal. See, he rediscovered the God, listen to this, the God-given gift of play and rest. Now, there are people in here who are just naturally good at playing and resting. If that's you, way to go. Yeah, we'll follow your lead, right? Some of you have your hobbies in line. Some of you live to hobby, so maybe you need to hear another lesson another day. But many in here have forgotten what it was like to play and to enjoy hobbies. Maybe it's work, maybe it's parenting, maybe it's stuff. It's just gotten you so busy. Maybe you in particular need to hear the command to say no to work and say yes to play and rest. So you got to play and rest. And so that lady in that article said, you know, try a board game. Now that's stupid for some of you, right? How many of you have tried a board game thinking this would be playful and fun and ended up fighting with somebody? See, some of us are so bad at this good thing of playing that we don't even know how to play right. We take a playful thing, whatever it is, fill in the blank, a board game, a sporting event, and we get so intense that we've got to win that it's no longer fun and it becomes work, and play is work, and if play is work, it's no longer play, it's work. Well, stop it. You know, if you've been here for a while, you know I love watching, you know, the NBA, and, you know, about 10 years ago, I started to get the NBA League Pass where I could watch every single NBA game I wanted. It's awesome. And so about 6 years ago, I started watching the Clippers, the Golden State Warriors, and I always watch the Magic because they're my favorite team, but they're horrible, so that doesn't matter. But there's something about the Warriors in particular that I began to notice several years ago. This was kind of before they were, you know, big. And they began, I noticed something different about them that I think today has led the Golden State Warrior paraphernalia to outsell anything else in the NBA. There's more Warrior gear sold than anything else. And I think it's because they play in a way that at least looks like they're having fun. I mean, there's other NBA teams that work hard. But the Warriors, if you watch them, it looks like they're having fun. And in the past couple years, they've exploded on the market because I think we live in a world where people are longing just to relax and to have fun. So you got to say no to grow. This teaching is one that I also taught in Africa back in December when Rod and I went over to teach at this Bible college. And there were people of all ages, you know, from like 13-year-old boys to literally 80-some-year-old women in there just being trained. And I was teaching on this concept of Sabbath and play, and you got to tend to yourself so that you can tend to the world. And they began to lament that they have never played in years. And so I asked these. This one of the sessions, a group of old women, and I mean old women, I mean, well, I mean old women. They were like in their 70s and 80s. I said, what are you, sorry, peace. I meant older than me women. And I said, well, what did you do? And they came alive telling stories, kind of like Richard Caballero did, and they talked about how he used to play this dodgeball game, and so I said, well, let's go do it. And there were some younger folks in the group. They were like, yeah, but these older women were like, ooh, goodness. I don't know if I could throw anymore without hurting myself or dodge anymore without popping a hip or something. And I said, well, do you guys want to see 48 seconds of people playing in Africa who've never played in decades? Why don't you, just 48 seconds, watch this video. And I want you to watch in particular. There's this woman right here with that yellow little thing on. She has an awesome wig, but she's actually 71 years old. At first, she's like, uh-uh, I ain't doing this. They're playing this little tag game. But you can see her thinking, I used to love this. There's a younger woman, says, here, give it a try. And all of a sudden, she's like, screw it, I'm in. And for the rest of the day, she's jumping around. Look at her. She wouldn't let anybody else throw that thing because it was all hers. I'm in. Boom, she's throwing it. And if it gets away from her on this end, ooh, she's like, give it to me, mine. Boom, she's talking trash, and she was loving it, and she's jogging. And this was a woman who literally had not played, she told me, in about 30 years' time. It was awesome. I think some of you are due to say no to productivity just for a little bit and say yes to rest and play. You know, play leads to joy. You could see the joy even just quickly right there. And the Bible tells us in Nehemiah chapter 8 that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Some of you are just weary. Some of you stood up saying, life's been tough. Well, maybe for you, you need to stop trying to do stuff and just play for a bit and let the joy of the Lord come upon you. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.